Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Lionel Messi. The Barcelona superstar has become the first player in UEFA Champions League history to score six career hat tricks. Messi was once again marvelous as Barcelona crushed Celtic of Scotland 7-0 in the opening Group C match for both clubs. It was Messi's 40th career treble for club and country in Barca's biggest ever win in the UEFA Champions League competition. Barcelona's head coach, Luis Enrique Martinez, spoke in Spanish after the match about Messi. My sunny side of sports translator gives us the following, and I quote, "He is the best player of all time, both for the number of goals he scores and for his footballing vision. He could also be the best forward. We must enjoy him, and hopefully for a long time. We must enjoy him." Well, I'm not sure Enrique's coaching counterpart for Celtic, Brendan Rodgers, enjoyed Messi's performance, especially after that 7-0 rout. But he certainly is well aware of the footballing talent on Barcelona, a five-time champion in the UEFA Champions League. At the post-match news conference in Barcelona, he talked about trying to defend the Spanish powerhouse.
You're trying to keep your lines tight and trying to block spaces, but players of that quality, that speed, you know, the pitch is fantastic. You know, the ball moves like it's on an ice rink. You know, it goes so fast. And they move as fast as that. They get high-level, top players with big confidence, big belief, and that's why they are what they are.
Celtic coach Brendan Rodgers analyzed not only the overwhelming performance by Messi and the Barca squad, but he also singled out players like Uruguayan star Luis Suarez.
Luis' movement will always make it difficult. You know, he runs to score goals. He makes forward runs. Plays on the shoulder, his combinations with the other two attacking players. Rakitic as well is top class. You know, once they break forward, Yan Gomez as well is a good player. Okay. So the framework of the team is obviously very strong, but it's lit up.
Celtic coach Brendan Rodgers praising the lethal attack of Barcelona Football Club. In Tuesday's other UEFA Champions League results, Spanish midfielder Saúl Ñíguez scored late in the first half as Atletico Madrid opened the tournament with a 1-0 road victory over PSV Eindhoven of the Netherlands. Our VOA football fans will remember Atletico Madrid reached the final of last season's competition, losing 5-3 on penalty kicks to city rival Real Madrid. In Germany, Bayern Munich got off to a good start, beating the Russian club FC Rostov 5-0. Bayern's 21-year-old defender Joshua Kimmich, who's described as an up-and-coming star, had two goals. In other Champions League results, Basel of Switzerland and Ludogorets of Bulgaria drew 1-1. Paris Saint-Germain and visiting Arsenal also drew 1-1. And there was another 1-1 draw between Benfica of Portugal and Besiktas of Turkey. In Ukraine, visiting Napoli of Italy rallied for a 2-1 victory over Dynamo Kiev. The match between Manchester City and Borussia Mönchengladbach of Germany was called off following heavy rain in Manchester, England. and the game was rescheduled for Wednesday evening. Well, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. It's Wednesday, so we have another Watch on Wednesday Facebook Live for you. We also have a contest. I'm planning to interview an Olympic champion later this week. Let's take a look at her on my computer screen. And my videographer, Kwame, brings that camera around. There she is, the first person to correctly identify this Olympic champion in the comments section. Will receive some of those delightful and much coveted VOA goodies. What the heck? I'm feeling generous. We'll give out the goodies to three people who correctly identify this Olympic champion. There she is. There she is. Once again, identify that Olympic champion, and you might win some of those delightful VOA goodies. So take a good look. Nice, nice. Well, one of our top tennis stories this week is Germany's Angelique Kerber taking over the world number one ranking. The 28-year-old Kerber is the oldest woman to reach the number one ranking for the first time. She overtook American star Serena Williams in the rankings after winning the women's singles title at the U.S. Open in New York.
You know, for me, Serena is one of the best players in the world. And I mean, she won so many Grand Slams, and she is really one of the strongest opponents for me. But there are also a lot of other great players behind me, and they are dreaming to win in Grand Slams as well, like me. So for me, it will be a tough challenge to being number one and to being there as long as I can. So I'm really looking forward for everything in the future.
Angelique Kerber talks about Serena Williams being one of the strongest opponents for her. Angelique and Serena played each other in the final of two Grand Slam tournaments this year. Kerber won in three sets at the Australian Open, but Serena came back and beat Kerber in straight sets in the Wimbledon final. Angelique Kerber talks about her future goals.
There are still a lot of more goals that I have in my career, but right now I try to enjoy every single moment. I mean, for me, I'm really proud to be the next German number one player in the world after Steffi, and to win in Grand Slams as well. That means a lot to me. So this is actually what I'm enjoying now, and I'm really looking forward to what's left and what I can still win. I hope there will come a lot of more.
Angelique Kerber mentioned Steffi Graf. Kerber says she's always had a special place in her heart for Steffi.
When I was young, of course, Steffi was always my idol because she's German, she played tennis, she won everything. But right now, I think I'm an idol for the young players now. And I just try to being how I am and just, staying positive and enjoying everything and playing how I am and, being the best I can be.
That's Angelique Kerber of Germany, the new number one ranked player in women's tennis, and she was speaking in Munich. During Tuesday's show, Andrew Palcheski mentioned a funny on-air call by American sportscaster Kevin Harlan during Monday night's National Football League game between the San Francisco 49ers and their California rival, the Los Angeles Rams. The 49ers led the Rams 21-0 with about 11 and a half minutes left in the fourth quarter when a fan ran onto the field. San Francisco would wind up winning the game 28-0. Let's listen in now to Kevin Harlan's call.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt.
Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part. That was a great call. All right, I'm ready for the last 11:31 now, Kevin. Let's go.
Look at the police. They've surrounded this man like he is... like he's just robbed a bank.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in
he
before
did,
they
yes.
got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. But I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
All right. A night in the clink coming up. Kevin Harlan with the call during the weekly Monday night National Football League game. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty greetings, Doug.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. You know, they say great sports announcers can paint pictures with words. I don't need to see the video of that. I think I just saw it.
funny. I was laughing during the call, and I could picture that fan just running wild, Doug.
Great call. He is right. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, as enjoyable as that was, there's another call that was made recently at a high school football game down in Alabama that is really kind of generating some not so much humor, but really some concern. So just briefly to paint the picture, we've been talking, I know you and Andrew and others, about Colin Kaepernick and his taking a knee during the national anthem. We're seeing it spread to some other athletes and some other sports, even down at the collegiate and the high school level. Now, so recently, just a few days ago, in fact, pastor, he's an Alabama pastor who part-time, his name's Alan Joyner, part-time he does the PA announce, the public address announce at the local high school football games. Enjoyable pastime. So he was recently calling a game at McLean High, and he reportedly said over the PA, now there's no tape of this, this is what people related they heard in the stands, quote, "If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can line up over there by the fence and let our military personnel take a few shots at you since they're taking shots for you." Now, he says, Joyner says it's a misquote. He didn't say that, but he's not backing off. He says he's very patriotic. He's sort of tried to nuance it, but he's since just resigned. He's had to leave, but I think it shows sort of the depth of the feelings that are stirred up by what may surprise some people, you know, a simple act of not standing up for the national anthem. It does, among some people, stir really deep feelings, and there is a lot of, continues to be a lot of talk on social media about this particular incident and just the larger question.
And Doug, at this point, I mean, it started out as a National Football League protest, and now it seems like it's moving into different levels of sport here in the USA.
It is. You know, that's a great question. And interestingly, one of the things I learned recently is that some high school students have been doing this, and they have been suspended. But then those suspensions have been immediately reversed because high school students are constitutionally protected their free speech rights. If they're silently taking a knee or turning their back or whatnot, the school district, the government cannot prosecute them in any way. The same is not true for the NFL. The NFL is a private organization. So if the NFL or a coach or a team decides to punish a player for that sort of thing, they can do that. Sort of an interesting turn. The high school student actually has more rights in this regard than the actual pro player.
Doug, if we look at the racial makeup of the National Football League, the majority of players are black.
Yes.
And they have been leading this protest during the national anthem. We also have the National Hockey League getting ready to start, which has a different racial makeup. Do you think we'll see any of a similar protest in that league?
Again, that's a great question. Here in the United States, well over half of professional NHL hockey players come from somewhere other than the United States. United States. So that could be Canada, Russia, Finland, Sweden, Germany, you know, the sort of expected kind of the Czech Republic, those kinds of nations. And I don't really know that we're going to see that. There's maybe about four, as I count them right now, well, I was going to say African-Americans, but they could be African-Americans, African-Canadians, people of African ancestry playing in the NHL. Mm. You know, I had the luck a few years back to speak with one of the hockey greats who really broke the color barrier back in the 60s. And it was as recently as the 60s that he would go out on the ice and other teams, you know, would call him names. So I don't know that we're going to be seeing a lot of it in hockey. But, you know, in some point, you probably know better than I, basketball is going to start up again.
That's true.
And, you know, one wonders how this may, if this is still an issue, how this may, you know, translate there.
And even last season, I remember protests by players like LeBron James wearing T-shirts.
Yes, indeed, that's right.
Protesting police shootings of African-American people. And so I think this could very well carry over to the NBA.
I think you're right. And I think the leagues and the teams are going to try and, you know, run this tricky balance of, you know, allowing people to speak their mind, not appearing to kind of like clamp down on such an American tradition as freedom of speech. But they have to keep things in control because, you know, if you let one person get away with one thing, then somebody else is going to push it elsewhere potentially. And, you know, you could see the teams just sort of the wheels clicking in their mind.
A lot of people have spoken out about the protests, including President Obama. One person in particular, Doug, John Carlos, he waged a protest during the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, the famous Black Power salute mm-hmm. with Tommy Smith. He called it, I think the way he described this protest by Kaepernick and other players, as a shock treatment, much needed shock treatment.
Interesting.
To the culture. So, you know, they have John Carlos's support.
You know, I'm not old enough, you're not old enough to remember that moment, but I've certainly read about it and read about the tremendous amount of controversy. Even as I was growing up as a child, people were still talking about that Olympic moment.
Douglas, if we can move to what else is trending in the sports world.
Well, you know, this is a very interesting story and really sort of from the news vault, if you will. So the medical testing records of four U.S. Olympic athletes have been hacked and released online. Now, these were medical records, a medical test that these athletes took with the World Anti-Doping Authority. I'm just going to call it WADA from now on. So every athlete has to, you know, make sure they have to be clean, you know, all that kind of thing. Now, the four athletes are Serena and Venus Williams, Simone Biles, and Elena Del Don. So these are kind of big athletes. Now, the people who did this, it's a hacking group that's being called Fuzzy Bear. It's a cute name, but it's actually, Fuzzy Bear is a known what's called advanced persistent threat in cyber world. This is a Russian group. It's known Russian group, known Russian hackers, clearly up to no good. They released this and they're saying, well, quote, dozens of American athletes have tested positive. The Rio Olympic medalists regularly used illicit strong drugs, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the problem is that WADA allows athletes of all kind what they call the therapeutic use exemption. And Simone Biles is one of those people. She has ADHD. So she has to take some forms of medication to, you know, really kind of help her with ADHD. So she posted on Twitter. She said, quote, please know I believe in clean sport, have always followed the rules, and will continue to do so as fair play is critical to sport and is very important to me. But she said, look, you know, me and many other athletes, you know, we might test for a substance, but we've been cleared by the Olympic authorities and the drug testing authorities because we have any kind of particular issues. This is all clearly coming from, and there's a lot of talk. In fact, I was just looking at a tweet from, I'm going to assume it's a Russian, I don't know, but somebody who's clearly sort of sympathizing with the Russians. He said, you know, Russians kicked out of Olympic Games, the many Russians who were kicked out. Russians kicked out of Olympic Games, clearly now Olympic Committee showing favoritism for U.S. So I still think there's a tremendous amount of hard feelings among Russians for the many athletes that were kicked out because of doping allegations. And so now this Russian group looks like they're trying to get back. And the information that I've seen is that they expect more of these records to be released.
Doug, you mentioned the Williams sisters. I can't speak on Serena, but I know Venus has suffered from kind of a fatigue-type condition in her later years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, has she talked about the medication issue at all?
She has not. I checked both sisters, and they have not responded or said anything. They've sort of been quiet on Twitter. Maybe that's just at the advice of, you know, the sort of professional handlers. But I think many athletes feel, you know, this is such a close issue to them, and it's such a personal and private matter that it's really caused a lot of, you know, sort of furrowed brows in the sporting community.
Doug, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, a couple things I'll leave you with. We are at the knife's edge to begin the World Cup of hockey, and you know I couldn't be happier about that. Hockey is back. So the World Cup is just what it sounds like. There are 8 teams that will be competing. Competition, we've been in pregame right now for this week. Competition formally begins this Saturday and will go all the way to October 1. So this is a long series, and there are 8 teams. There are, let's see, Team USA, 6 are national and 2 are sort of hybrids. Team USA, Team Canada, Team Sweden, Team Finland, Team Russia, and Team Czech Republic. And then there's this kind of curious hybrid. There's 2 other teams, Team Europe and Team North America.
Mm.
And basically, this is both to kind of round out, so there are 8 teams, so you can, you know, just sort of makes the bracketing easier for competition.
Right.
But it's also, you know, some of the players who maybe I didn't make Team Canada, but, you know, I made Team North America.
Another option for them.
Exactly. And so warm-up games are now done. I've been going through Twitter. I could share a lot of these tweets with you. You know, there's very little, I think, that hockey players like doing more than chirping at each other, whether it's on the ice, and we see that, and it's just kind of taken to Twitter. So already, because the fun part of this is that you see people, say like Team USA, you see people from many different professional hockey teams coming together. They're professional rivals, opponents, but they're now coming together to play on the same team, and there's all this sort of, very good-natured. Recently, Braden Holtby was in goal, and oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name right now, but both Capitals players, and John Carlson scored on Braden Holtby. They're best of friends on the Washington Capitals, but when it comes to this, one was on Team USA, one was on Team Canada. And very quickly, I just wanted to mention very quickly, we've been talking about, again, this national anthem thing. The Team USA coach, John Tortorella, who's a guy who's not known for putting up with a lot of nonsense, has come out and stated emphatically that any player, that all the players line up on the ice for the playing of the national anthems during games. Any player that doesn't go out on the ice, that takes a knee or does something else, will be off the bench and will not see play. Now, he said that, it sounded very blustery, but what he forgot, I think, is that in competition like this, they only play the national anthem of the winning team after the game itself. So it really sort of doesn't mean anything. Don't tell that to John Tony.
Doug, one of my Facebook friends posted a few photos from right here in Washington at the Verizon Center.
Oh, yeah.
Team USA in action in that tournament you were talking about.
Team USA last night in action against Team Finland. They held on. It was great to see. It was just great to see the play on the ice. Team USA is looking pretty good this year, but it's sort of not expected that they're going to be in the win column. One last quick thing for you, there was a world record set just last night. Bet you didn't know about it. It was sent in Chicago at the White Sox game. It was called Bark in the Park, and they sent a world record. Who know they measured such things for the most dogs seated in attendance at a sporting event. They had to be in the seats. They had to be there for 10 minutes, there were 1,122 dogs that were counted. So lots of people have been tweeting out pictures of, you know, their fuzzy dog and all those kinds of things.
I'm guessing they were leashed?
Some of them were. They were supposed to be leashed. I imagine. I tend to think, just looking at some of the, it was a little bit chaotic, let's just say, the scene there. But again, that's one of those things that social media likes so much.
Thanks, Doug. VOA's Doug Bernard. And Doug, you'll be back on Thursday.
You bet.
Thanks, Doug. And that wraps up the September 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Many in the international community held high hopes that the 2016 elections in Zambia would signal yet another win for democracy in Africa. But the run-up to the elections, as well as the post-election environment, were marred by violence, intimidation, and an environment that tilted the playing field unfairly in favor of the ruling party. This included the closure of the country's most popular and one of its few independent newspapers. The Post newspaper was shut down by the Government Revenue Service on claims of $6 million worth of unpaid taxes, while government news outlets and other entities that reportedly also owed substantial amounts to the Government Revenue Service remained open. After the election, Zambia's broadcasting regulation entity, the Independent Broadcasting Authority, suspended the licenses of an additional 3 private media outlets, citing unprofessional conduct and unspecified national security grounds. The closure of independent media outlets without warning on ill-defined national security grounds carries with it the potential to muzzle all non-government-controlled media outlets and creates a chilling effect on freedom of speech. This is not the way a multi-party democracy operates. It is not the way to help the country unify after a close election. It is not the way to give confidence to the international community and outside investors that the rule of law is respected and carried out in a consistent manner in Zambia. The United States is disappointed that politically motivated violence and constraints on media freedom have continued after Zambia's August 11th general election, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby in a written statement. We are especially concerned about the Independent Broadcaster Association's August 22nd suspension of 3 broadcasting licenses, which is a continuation of a troubling pre-electoral trend of restrictions on independent media voices and freedom of peaceful assembly. Zambia's proud democratic traditions are not enhanced by such restrictions, nor will they help the country to unite and move forward. Zambia's election is over, and judicial authorities have carried out their constitutional duties to rule on the challenge to the election results. The United States government urges the government of the Republic of Zambia to work with the Zambian Revenue Authority and the Independent Broadcasting Authority to find a way forward that allows all media outlets to freely report. The free flow of information is an essential element of a democracy. The United States calls on all political actors to meet and seek reconciliation in a display of leadership.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth one-on-one conversation with Namibian president. The wide-ranging discussion will include the president's vision for the future of the Southern African nation. That's next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. from the north to the south and from the east to the west. The African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two Face. Nato C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.